Hey, good morning and happy Easter. My name is Ben, and I'm so glad that you have chosen to join with us on this Easter Sunday morning. Thank you for having us into your living room, into your backyard, your back porch, maybe your front porch. I don't know where you're tuning in from, but I'm glad that you are with us, and I'm glad to be with you. Welcome to our backyard. It is Easter Sunday morning, and I'm preaching an Easter sermon from the backyard. This is not at all what I expected, but here is where we are. We talked even on Palm Sunday about unmet expectations, that sometimes what we think Jesus ought to do, he doesn't do. And I feel like this is one of those moments where we have expectations and it's just not happening. I'm reminded just several weeks ago, we had gathered with some of our leaders to plan worship for Easter Sunday morning. It's going to be so exciting. We finally made the decision we're going to go to two different services and try to make as much space and as much room for as many people as possible. And yet here we are now on the World Wide Web. Anybody can join us. So I guess sometimes our expectation is, maybe sometimes it's even too small. And so we're gathered together today, nonetheless, to proclaim the good news of the gospel, that Jesus, who was dead, is now alive, and he is alive forevermore. And like Paul said, God will do immeasurably more in us and through us than we could even think or imagine. And so that's our prayer today, that even though we are not together in one building, that God would do more than we even know how to ask for. And so I pray that you will join your hearts with mine as we invite God to once again reveal to us his son Jesus and the work that he did not only on the cross but by defeating death in rising from the grave. And so to that end, I want to invite you to join with me as we meet with Emma Holston. Emma is going to give us a perspective from a lady, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene had some disappointments of her own. You see, after Jesus was crucified and buried, Mary, who loved Jesus, went out to the tomb to give his body a final treatment as he was in the grave. And Emma's going to show us what she found when she got there.
It was Sunday. We went to Jesus' tomb with the spices we'd prepared to anoint his body, but as soon as we made it to the entrance, we realized that the stone had been rolled away from the door. We entered and found that Jesus' body was no longer there. We were terrified. We thought someone must have stolen it or moved it so that we couldn't treat it. I threw my belongings into Mary's hands and ran into town to find Peter and John. As soon as I saw them, I was completely out of breath. I tried to explain that Jesus' body was missing, but I was so distraught that they didn't believe my words alone. They ran to the tomb themselves, but it was just as I had told them. Jesus' body was gone. His wrappings were lying around with no body to cling to. We were helpless. There was nothing we could do. Of course, they left and went home. But I stood alone at the tomb and wept. I couldn't understand why someone would take his body or who would have done it. I was still in shock. I stooped back down to take one last look inside. But what I saw, I almost couldn't believe. Sitting there, where Jesus' body had been lain, were two angels of God, draped in white. I was so amazed and so frightened that I could barely even see clearly. They told me not to be afraid. One asked me why I was weeping, and I mean, I could barely speak, but I finally told him, "They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they put him." I turned my head to leave, but there was someone behind me. I thought he was the gardener. I thought maybe he'd taken Jesus' body. He asked me why I was crying. I begged him to tell me where he'd put my Lord. I didn't even recognize him until he called out my name. There, standing in front of me, was the Son of God. Once dead, but now alive. I mean, I was happy, but confused. I saw him crucified. I saw them put the nails in his flesh. I saw the wounds in his hands and his feet and in his side. It was a terrible, horrible death. I witnessed them lay his body in the tomb. But yet here he was, standing in front of me, breathing. He was alive. Of course, I ran to embrace him, but he's a busy man. He had other things to be doing. But he instructed me to spread the message, to tell all of the disciples and all of his people. Jesus is alive. I have seen the Son of God. Death could not hold our Savior. Spread the message. The tomb could not keep his body, just as the light cannot be put out by the dark. Jesus is risen from the dead.
Wow. Emma, thank you so much for sharing that with us, giving us a new perspective to look through the eyes of Mary Magdalene, and not only to see through her eyes, but to see the story of a risen Savior. You see, Mary went down to the tomb looking for a dead teacher. She loved Jesus, and she had an incredible experience walking with Jesus. But when she went to the grave that morning, she was expecting to find the body of the one whom she had been following. You see, her journey with Jesus started some time ago when Jesus invited not only Mary, but many other women to travel along with his disciples as they went town to town proclaiming this new kingdom and ushering it in. In fact, when Jesus first invited Mary to follow him, we read in Luke chapter 8 that his encounter with her, Mary was at the time possessed, by the Bible tells us, 7 demons. And Jesus delivers her from those demons and invites her to come be part of his family. Now that, if that was all Jesus ever did for Mary, wouldn't that be enough? And I have a feeling that even when she went down to the grave that morning, she still had a deep love of this teacher of hers. But she had no idea. I mean, Jesus had talked about some things along the way, but somehow, when she went down there, she was expecting to find the body of Jesus, to be able to give him the spices, to provide an appropriate burial, if you will, and probably just to say goodbye. But when she went down there, she didn't find him. Actually, she did. And when she found him, he spoke to her. He spoke to her. You see, she confused him for the gardener until he said her name. He said, Mary. And it was in that moment where I have to imagine her entire world changed forever. She recognized Jesus when he revealed himself to her. He said, Mary. And then her immediate response, I assume, is just to grab Jesus and give him an incredible embrace, a giant hug, to say, I can't believe what I'm seeing. You see, sometimes our expectations get in the way of God's reality for us. As we mentioned at the very beginning, none of us expected to be here in this moment on this day. But yet God meets us where we are. And I believe that even though we feel like we're limited by isolation and quarantine and all of those things, I believe that God is still going to act and move in a mighty way all across the world today. I've got incredible hopes that he's going to do that. And just like for Mary, when she went down to the tomb expecting to find the body of a great teacher, what she found was a Savior. And what I hope for us today too is that you and I, no matter what our expectations are, no matter what our hopes are, no matter what low expectations we may have set for today, that God would move in a great way, a mighty way, and reveal himself to us once more in the person of his Son Jesus, who is alive forevermore. Now let's take a moment and look at how Jesus revealed himself to Mary. He calls her by name. It was actually in him calling her by name that helped her to see and to know that it really was him. It was when she heard his voice say her name. She'd heard it before. Again, she had traveled with Jesus for all this time. She had given her life to him and in service with him. And he calls her by name. What I want us to see in this is that Jesus knows your name. And he knows my name. And he calls out to us in our most broken moments. He calls out to us in the darkness and brings light. And it is his voice to us that says our name that helps us to know it is him. How do we know this? Well, way back even before Jesus, King David. You know the story of David, right? I mean, he rose to be king. He was didn't really look like a king. He wound up being king. He was an excellent king. Made some mistakes along the way. But his life is a story of God's redemptive power. And it's in that famous Psalm, number 23, that he tells us that the Lord is our shepherd. Jesus, when he comes on the scene, says, and I'm sure in the presence and in the company of Mary and many others, says that I am the good shepherd. I am a good shepherd. He also says, you know, that he calls his sheep by name. And not only does he call them by name, but he lays his life down for them. And so when Jesus calls Mary's name and reveals himself to her, in that moment, surely somewhere in the back of her mind, she's reminded, it's my great shepherd who knows me by name, who calls me by name, who lays his life down for mine. Even if she didn't hear that, I hope that you do. I hope that you are reminded in this moment as we celebrate the resurrection and we see that Jesus chooses to reveal himself to Mary by calling her name, that you would hear the voice of Jesus calling your name today. Just to remind you that even death is not the end. This is not where it all stops. But he knows you, and he knows your situation. He knows your circumstances. He knows what you're up against. He knows about your doubts, about your fears, about your failures. He knows all of this. And yet he's willing to lay himself down for you and for me. The good shepherd knows his sheep by name, and he leads them and he protects them. Jesus calls Mary by name, Mary, and she knew it was him. So there's another part of Mary's encounter with Jesus that we want to take a look at. And that is the part where obviously Jesus, you know, reveals himself to her, calls her by name. She knows that it's him. But I think an important piece of that is Mary recognizes and realizes that Jesus is with her. He is present with her. He's not dead. He's not gone away. He hasn't been stolen. He's with her. He's there, present. And I think for many of us, when we are in our darkest and most difficult moments, it's hard sometimes to think that God is present, that Jesus is with us. And so when Jesus speaks her name, she knows he is with me. Now, what I also find interesting is that in this encounter, when Mary recognizes Jesus is present with her, her first response is to give him a hug, to embrace him, and to hold on to him. And Jesus says, I'm sorry, but I've not ascended back to the Father yet, so you're going to have to not hold on to me. But rather, your response, Mary, is now to go and tell your brothers. Tell everyone what you have seen. Tell them about all of this right here. And I'm assuming she did, since we're reading about it from John. She went and told someone. Oftentimes, when we encounter Jesus, we tend to ponder and think about it. Mary was instructed to go and tell somebody. So I want to challenge you this week, this day, for the rest of your life. When you have encountered Jesus, please, for the sake of everyone around you, for the sake of the kingdom of God, go tell somebody. Make it known that Jesus, who once was dead, is now alive. And he gives life and light to all those who would put their trust in him. He has defeated death on a cross. He's buried our sins. He's taken the wrath of God and just buried it deep. and gives us the opportunity to not only be forgiven, but through his resurrection, we have the power to actually live. I believe the best way to celebrate Easter is simply by living a life that reflects a risen Savior. You and I, on a daily basis, have an opportunity to live our lives in such a way that the outside looking in would look and see that something has happened, that something has been put to death and something has come to life, and that we're a new creation. We were made new because of the work of Jesus on the cross and coming out of the grave, that our lives are different. And so I invite you to join with me celebrating Easter, celebrating Easter today and every day, knowing though, coming to grips with the realization that though we may not be together, we can still celebrate Easter, because Easter, in all reality, is not dependent upon where we worship or what we do. It's not dependent on all of our plans and our expectations, but rather Easter is entirely dependent upon Jesus being willing to take my sin and your sin to the cross, leaving it there buried deep, and coming back to life, being risen to give us new life. And he's already done that. Praise the Lord. And so, I want to wish you a happy Easter. I want to declare to you that Christ is risen and that he is risen indeed. Now, may my life and your life reflect that reality in all that we do, in the way that we love, in the way that we serve, and the way that we give ourselves for the sake of others, so that the kingdom of God might become a reality here on earth through his risen Lord Jesus, who has given us the power to overcome sin and death, that we might declare to the world, our Lord is risen. God bless you. Have a great day. I cannot wait to see you again soon.